Welcome to the XBLA Fancast for May 3rd, 2011. I'm John Lasseter, and I'm joined by Andrew Cruz and Tyler Cameron and Matt Davis of Barker's Press Games, who brought to you games like Avatar Golf, Home Run Challenge, and Easy Golf, and the soon-to-be released Avatar Legends.
I'm Andrew. I'm a writer for XBLA Fans.
All right, this is Tyler Cameron, Associate Editor.
This is Matt. I am the owner of Baker's Crest Games Studio. Barker's Crest Studio.
You're doing it too now. All right, I don't feel so bad.
I may have done it on purpose.
All right, so yeah, we have a pretty interesting show for you guys this week, focusing on Xbox Live indie games, and we figured there was no better source for Xbox Live indie game information than one of the developers and, themselves. So we have Matt here to join us.
Hello, and, everybody.
Yeah, there's been a lot of news coming out recently about Xbox Live indie games. We've talked about it on the show a lot. You know, the whole ratings debacle that happened with the college lacrosse games. There's always the debate whether Xbox Live indie games should get achievements, whether or not Microsoft does enough to promote them, whether the marketplace is flooded. And we figured we'd address some of those today. So, first off, Matt, do you have any comments just in general about the Xbox Live indie service? Anything that you think needs to get changed?
Well, first of all, they need to just shower us with lots of money for no good reason. Just like, hey, we'll pay you all this money to build crappy games. Oh, wait, no, I take that back. That's Windows Phone.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh.
But, you know, it's good, man. It's great. You know, where else can you be a guy in your house and make games and sell it on a console? You know,
yeah.
Where else are you going to get that?
Yeah, I definitely love the whole XNA community stuff and the whole feel to it. And you get a lot of great games that have come out through the service. If you can dig through, you know, all the massage apps and all the other random apps that just flood it. Like, honestly, like, I feel like every time I log in, me and Andrew were just saying this before the show, there's a new massage vibrator. And it's like now with 13 different functions. And it's like, how many different ways to make a massage controller?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great games that have come out, too. Do you guys have any favorites out on the system?
Avatar Golf, man. Are you serious?
I like this one game called Groove. I don't know if you guys have
Yeah, played. I got that one. That's a good Groove. Game, man.
Groove is a really cool game. That's probably my favorite game, my favorite indie game. I haven't played too many of them, but that was definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a dual stick shooter. It's kind of like it's got some music elements to it where like every thing that explodes creates a different musical note. So
yeah, it's kind of like a Geometry Wars crossed with Chime or something.
Yeah, very similar to that. I got a few I like though. I liked one called Pokoro a lot. I had one called, I think it was called like Rotoscope or something like that, and that was really cool where you kind of rotate, you just have this cube and you rotate this this board, this like cube board, and these little squares fall around inside of it, and what you got to do is try to get these like three different colored squares to match up and disappear. So if there's like three pink squares and three blue squares inside this cube, you just got to kind of like rotate it around until all three of them are touching. It's a really cool puzzle game. And it's got a lot of levels, so there's a lot of value there. But I think, honestly, not to just, you know, blow smoke at our guests here, but I think Avatar Golf is clearly the best that I've ever played. I play a lot of indie games. I'm known on my friends list as the indie game guy, kind of. And I think, without a doubt, I've sunk probably like 80 hours in Avatar Golf, and I can't even come close to that with any other game.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, the game's amazing. The level creator on there is just awesome. And it's not that I like creating levels. I like letting like common friend Shake and Bake create levels, and I just go play his because that dude's amazing. And there's a lot of
A
lot of like Lord Puddington. You know who that is too, right, Matt? He had
I know him very well.
He had. I think I actually seen him in the trailer for Avatar Legends, so yeah, I guess you've been working close with him. But yeah, I there's a lot of really talented people out there making some awesome Avatar golf courses, and it never gets old. It's always new stuff.
that's one thing I definitely like, is the ability for the community to, you know, reiterate on some of these games that have come out and, you know, create their own courses. And I know that that level of creation is something you're working on with Avatar Legend, I believe. Right, Matt?
That's correct, man. And it's funny you bring up Shake and Bake O and Lord Poodington, as they're actually involved in the creation of this game. Shake and Bake O is, he's making the entire single-player adventure using the designer that everyone else is going to get to use. So when you play through the single-player adventure, you could say, you know what, I can make this too if I wanted to, because Shake and Bake O made it.
Yeah.
On top of that, Lord Poodington is an excellent writer, and he has actually written the story pieces where if you read text throughout the game, like, hey, I'm going to go talk to this NPC and he wants to tell you a story, it's going to have some scrolling text to tell you the story. He wrote that stuff, and it's top notch. He's and you know, you played their courses, so you know they're top notch people in there.
Oh yeah,
it's just going to be, it's going to be great.
It's awesome.
Yes.
And I know one reason you always get a hard time about playing the Xbox Live indie games from your friends, Andrew, is the fact that they don't have achievements.
Yeah, that's a downer for a lot of gamers, which sucks, but that's the day and age we live in nowadays, so, you know, what are you going to do? Go ahead, John.
What do you think they should do as far as that goes? Do you think they should give Xbox Live indie games achievements, or is it something where you think that they just get abused through the community nature of it, through the fact that most of these games are peer-reviewed, and, you know, you can just throw up, like, 40 massage vibrators that are just free points.
Yeah. And I think that's the issue right there. What do you think, Matt? Would you like to have achievements in your game?
Oh, man, I'd love it. And, you know, we definitely get told that's an issue, because the other side of it is, let's say you're the CEO of a big giant company that, you know, eats children and puts out video games. and you're paying millions of dollars to have your game put on the system. And a big selling point is these achievements.
Yeah.
And do you want some chump that's sitting in his couch building a game and diluting the system and, you know, bringing down the value of it for free, or basically the $100 a year it costs to be able to submit a game? You know, so I can understand they got to cater to that. With that said, I think that there's always a way to add indie games to the achievement system without it diluting the value.
Without diluting what's already there. That's definitely something I can totally see there.
Comes with quality control, though? Because I can look at a game like Avatar Golf, or like even like Biology Battle is like legitimate good games that could maybe use 100 gamer score, and they would be creative, nice achievements that would be, you know, a little bit easy, a little bit difficult to get. But then again, you still got the same guys that are pumping out like massage app after massage app, or just ridiculous apps like calculators or translators, all this stuff you see every day, and they would be selling their games for $1 for, you know, just basically press start and you get 100 gamer score or something like that. And that would, right there, that's the problem that, you know, you address, that you have too many people demoralizing the value of the bigger games. So would you think that quality control would be a good idea? Would there be a good move to move towards, like, this is, even though it works, this is stupid, so we're not going to allow it on our system?
It's one of those things where there's so many dynamics in place involved that, you know, if you say on one side, hey, let's have a system where developers can submit to Microsoft their indie game and they can choose, like, hey, this is one that we'd like to have achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And they approve it and say, we grant you achievements. Then you're going to get the other dynamic of where, as far as indie games are concerned and the review process and getting out on the onto the marketplace, unless there's abuse or copyright infringement, Microsoft wants to pretend they never even saw anything, that they had nothing to do with it, they had no idea what games were going through, that it was all community approved, and that the community was responsible for making sure that there's quality control, as you would say, and that Microsoft would only step in if there's, like I said, a copyright infringement, or someone broke the rules and somehow a game that's got a naked woman on it slipped through. Then they'll step in and pull it down. But if as far as like emailing and saying, hey, we're not sure this game can pass because it's kind of got this content and some people think it's okay and some don't, they just don't respond.
Yeah.
They just want to let the community sort that out. So on that one hand, hey, we want you guys to get involved so we can use your achievements. On the other hand, they don't want to be involved. On top of that, let's say there's technical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Indie games are not like arcade games. Well, they are like some, but they're not. They get played through the Xbox through a player. It's almost like loading songs into your player.
Yeah.
But an arcade game is, or a regular game is like building the player. Does that make any sense? So each player has its own achievements. But indie games, since it's all in one player, how do you?
Yeah, I got you.
How do you give each game achievements? Because the Xbox sees the player as the game, and the Xbox indie game players actually, you know, each game you download on indie games, technically on the technical side, is like a downloadable content. If you want to think of it like that, and they do a real good job of not making it seem that way to you, mm-hmm. but that's actually how it's going on behind the scenes. And not too long ago, I'd say a couple months ago, after they put out the Windows Phone, one of the Microsoft representatives came onto the developer forums and said, "Hey, we're gonna start looking into the next version of XNA. What do you indie developers want? We already know you want achievements and leaderboards and Kinect access." And so that kind of just, and this was at a time when a lot of indie developers basically thought that they were leaving the channel to just die. Like, we'll let it die and we'll shut it off. And so it was kind of a breath of fresh air because a lot of people were getting really anxious. And looking back, it makes sense. You know, all this money into the Windows Phone, we got to pay attention to that. Because a lot of Windows Phone stuff is built off the XNA framework. So they put all their resources into that. You know, the Indie Games channel is not making too much money. So, you know, we thought we were just left there to die. So that was the breath of fresh air. Okay, you guys are listening. We'll tell you all these things we want. And there was a lot of discussion over achievements. And it was said, you know, there's different issues. There's the technical issues that they could probably make work. And then there's the other issues like what we're talking about. You know, are there quality control? Should we give achievements and things like that? And ultimately, I think what made sense was you have a tier of developers that are allowed extended functionality, kind of like a tier between indie games and between arcade. And where if you're a proven developer and things of that nature, then you get a little bit special abilities. Technically, I'm not going to comment on how much that would cost for them to build that in, but that would be an undertaking. Would it be worth them doing, or would it be worth them saying, look, indie guy, you're building this awesome game. Why don't you just put it on arcade?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says there need to be a tier in between. Who knows, man? It's one of those things where at this point, I think nobody thinks we're going to get achievements because they posted something on the creator's website that basically had a chart saying, you know, if you're in arcade, you get this feature, and this feature. If you're on indie, you get this feature. If you're on phone, you get this feature. Yeah. So it prominently, you know, left out achievements and leaderboards for indie developers. So I don't know.
Well,
Do you think that's something Microsoft's looking to do to, you know, kind of move some of you guys onto the Windows Phone or move some of you guys to Xbox Live Arcade eventually? Or is this just kind of somewhere they want you to stay?
I really think they want people on the phone developing apps, and so that way the app number goes up and you release a press release and say we got
13,000
X many apps.
Yeah. That's the same way Android came up and, you know, started to catch up to
iPhone. I'm not going to knock it or judge it or anything. That's what I see. That's my own opinion based on what I've seen. And a lot of people like me, I'd like to make something on the phone. I have some ideas, but, you know, I still got so many more ideas on Xbox,
but
which is...
If you were going to make something on the phone, would it even be worth your time at this point to do a Windows Phone game, or would you just go iOS or Android? I mean, it's going to be a while before a lot of developers start to flock to Windows Phone 7, don't you think?
Well, like, you remember how I said a lot of the phone stuff is built on the XNA framework,
yeah,
where you
so
have
you
to
already
use
know what
that
you're
to
doing.
Get on. Yeah, so right. So getting something on there would be pretty, you know, relatively quickly to get done. If I were to move over to iOS or something like that, I'd probably rather just...
It's a completely new language almost.
Yeah, I'd probably rather just go, you know, go have a drink and watch a football game.
Well,
just because Microsoft's done a good job, because the same programming language that I use to make these games is also my day job.
Oh, yeah.
For making business applications. So, you know, if I wanted to learn a new programming language, I'll just go take a contract on the side for a couple months and make, you know, just as much money guaranteed. So it really just boils down to why I even do this stuff in the first place, is I love making games on the Xbox. I love getting on Xbox Live and chatting with people, playing the game. You know, Andrew told you about Avatar Golf. It's still almost, almost a year and a half later, there's still people playing it online pretty consistently.
Yeah, you can jump
into
a game
well.
Online with maybe 10 seconds before you're in. I mean, it's crazy how that community has stuck around, like, for an indie game, it's unbelievable.
That's really impressive, especially when you consider Xbox Live Arcade games have a hard enough time, you know, keeping communities.
Yeah.
For an Xbox Live indie game to, you know, outlast some of them, that's very impressive.
Yeah, it's quite an accomplishment.
Just goes to show, I guess, that you don't always have to have achievements just to keep people around and coming back to your game. I mean, Andrew, you finish every single Xbox Live Arcade game you play, you have like 200 points on every game ever. And I mean, and you still manage to sink 80 hours into this Avatar Golf game, which has no achievements, and like it's still fun to you. So I mean, the achievements are important to some people as just like even like a record of like what you've done and what you played. But I mean, if the game is fun, there's no reason why people won't come back to it repeatedly and over again. You know.
Yeah, but with the amount of content that comes out, it's tough to find that game that you've played for a year and a half consistently, like once a week or something like that, which is what Avatar Golf, I would say, is. There's three new XBLA games this week. Every time I turn on my Xbox, there's three or four new indie games. It's the amount of content on the marketplace is so overwhelming at this point that games like that are few and far between. So it's tough to find that one. That's literally probably I probably have like 60, 80 indie games that I've bought. That's probably the only one that I've put a double-digit amount of hours into.
Yeah, and that just, you know, nature of how many games are coming out for the system is something I was going to bring up, because I've heard developers out there say that, you know, just the Xbox in general, even from a retail perspective, is way oversaturated to the point that, you know, the industry is putting out more games than, like, can possibly be supported. And I know that Xbox Live Arcade has done a pretty good job in the past limiting that by allowing in maybe one or two titles a week, so they've upped that to about
three in
the past
couple. Anymore.
And then Xbox Live Indie Games, I don't think there's any kind of, you know, limit on how many they allow per day. It's, you know, a community thing. So do you think that type of limit is going to be needed, or are games that are good going to eventually rise to the top in a sense?
I think that... I don't know about indie games, but I know that like retail and arcade games, any game that shows up on your gamer card, there eventually needs to be some type of database maintenance done or whatnot, because I have a lot of friends with like 1,000+ games on their card, and it takes them maybe a whole minute to unlock an achievement anymore. It takes them 5 to 6 minutes to load their games library. Like, the more and more content you put on a gamer tag, the harder it is for a power user to continue to be a power user. And they definitely need to look into doing something to fix that. I don't know if that makes a difference on the indie game. I guess it would when you load your games library, because they are included in that. But I don't know. What do you think, Matt? Is there such a thing as too many indie games for the system to handle?
There's such a thing as too many bad games.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I remember playing Nintendo 64 and GameCube when back before the internet. I remember playing Atari, but let's not go back there. But back before the internet, I mean, this is just amazing, all the content that's available. Because do you remember there was a time when it's like, okay, there's Perfect Dark, and then you'd have to wait a year and a half almost for, it seems like, another AAA game to come out. It used to be like that. Yeah. Now you're getting AAA games, man, every quarter or every month or two, and it's just overwhelming. I'm sure everyone else as well has about three boxed games sitting on your entertainment center unwrapped that still need to be open.
Me too.
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. So, if I had to pick between the two, like, give me more. Now, on indie games, their biggest problem is, you know, right off the bat, it got a bad reputation for being nothing but junk and hard to look through.
Yep.
And there's only one type of person to blame for that, and that's the developers. A lot of times people want to blame Microsoft for that, and you can't blame them. They open it up. They democratize. It used to be their buzzword. They don't say it anymore. But they basically wanted to, you know, hey, we're gonna let the developers, and we're gonna let the consumers decide what they want. Because you remember, it used to be, oh, I hate this studio. They never innovate, and no one ever innovates, and everything's a copy, and things like that. And so Microsoft came along and said, hey, we're going to open up and let the innovation flow. And it turns out it ended up just copying, you know, the big boys. Like, hey, look, there's this game that a lot of people wanted to buy. Now all of a sudden there's 10 other people trying to copy that game. So it ended up mirroring it one for one. People don't really want, you know, they don't want the innovation. They want something that entertains them. And once someone finds out you can make a lot of money entertaining someone a certain way, then you're going to have 10 other people copy them.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a mixed bag in a sense, because you do have those games that are really innovating and stuff, but you also have, you know, your Minecraft clones, your Angry Birds clones, your, just random, just name a game that's popular. There's going to be some kind of clone for it on the Xbox Live indie games. And you see a lot of those because they sell. So, I mean, when you have something where it's like, I could make a game that's innovative but won't really make money, or you have a game that, you know, is a complete copy but will, a lot of developers like to tend to lean toward the make money, which, I mean, it's hard to fault them for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost funny hearing you say that, because that sounds just like the disc-based games and that people complain about. And so, ultimately, it just comes down to who buys what. So you get what people get, what they vote with their dollar with. So,
yeah,
you know, if people want to blame developers for junk games being on the top downloads list, well, who's downloading it?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Why sometimes when I look at them top 50 downloads, how some of those games, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like people were just like, I'm guilty of this too, just willing to throw away 80 points to even out their account. Like, when I see I have 80 points left, I want that to say zero. So I go look at something to throw it away on, but I always look until I find that good indie game for a dollar. I feel like people just look at that top 50 list and just pick whatever the first five are and say, okay, I'll try these and throw it. I mean, how do you explain the way some of these games get to the top, Matt? I mean, you've played them, I've played them, and a lot of them are garbage. And how do you explain that? What do you think happens?
I think that, you know, it's just entertainment, man. What's entertaining? A girl with her, you know, where you can almost see her nipples, or you know, an elf fighting, you know, something. You know, people want to see the boobs. They want to see the massager. They want to just be entertained. Cheap entertainment. It's like when you go to the grocery store. What's up at the front? You know, all the magazines of all the celebrities and all the weird stuff that you look and you think, why would anybody even want this? But it seems to be selling.
Chance somebody wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a case of a lot of the games are pretty hard to find on there, for me at least, when I go look. So, I mean, unless you're willing to research it online and, you know, go look through and play all the demos, you're going to look at that top 50 list. And the stuff that gets on there really quickly is just what you're saying, you know, the shock entertainment value type games.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those end up on there really fast, and it just kind of snowballs from there. I mean, that's not to say there's not a lot of great games up there as well. I mean, there's some good ones every time I look.
But definitely.
It's hard to find a lot of there's a lot of hidden gems on Xbox Live indie games, I think, more so than on, say, retail or even XBLA. And I think that's partially because of the lack of coverage they get, you know, on the internet.
Yeah, I think for, like, for a lot of gamers, the only way to know what indie game to buy is to know... is to know somebody like me on their friends list, or I'm sure everybody has like a guy on their friends list who's like the XBLA guy or this guy, and like a lot of people just jump into a party a lot of times and ask, so Print, what indie games are good right now, and I'll give them like three or four to go check out. I feel like if I wasn't to suggest a lot of those games, like a lot of people I know wouldn't have ever played them. I would like to see, with the amount of ridiculous advertisements that show up on our dashboard anymore, like, you know, Jack Link's this, whatever is the this week's sponsor. Just give indie games one or two squares somewhere, you know, some of the better ones, maybe ones that maybe have like some type of like algorithm set up where, well, they've only been out 3 days and they've yet to get rated less than 4 stars or something like that, and it just automatically populates. I don't know, something, some type of advertisement, because people look at those things. I look at those ads every day, and I just wonder, like, why we're wasting so much space when we could be selling things on the marketplace and doing, I don't know, a service for gamers, because it is a gaming service.
Yeah, to me, it just comes down to money. I mean, if they're going to make more money just sticking up a Jack Link's beef jerky ad versus, you know, putting up a thing that says Xbox Live indie games, they're going to put up the Jack Link's beef jerky ad, which it sounds like right now almost we're being sponsored by them, which I should probably ask, but no, we're not. It'd be pretty cool if we could be, though. I'd love that. But, I definitely think that's part of what it is. It takes less effort, almost, if you can, you know, not have to populate those lists or make the code and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... It's kind of sad, but I mean, if you're going to make more money the other way, you might.
Or how about like a thing on the spotlight? You get all those Kinect Corner, Laura Foy does the top 5 Windows apps. Why don't we get somebody on Microsoft to do like a top 5 indie game app video and just put it in there somewhere?
I believe Kotaku's now doing a top 10 list on the dashboard.
It's
somewhere
inside the indie game marketplace,
but it's inside the indie games thing, which I know one thing that most of my friends before I started doing this website for XBLA games didn't even know about XBLA games, which kind of floored me, but I was like, how'd you guys not know these are on here?
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't.
When you see everyone on your friends list playing like a Monday Night Combat on release day, how do you not know what an arcade game is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of my friends, they play the Call of Duty, they play the Maddens, you know, they play the big games. Yeah. They're not huge gamers in a sense. So, I mean, like, when they're looking for a game to buy, they're like, do I buy Halo or do I buy Call of Duty? They're not really thinking, should I buy Monday Night Combat, Hydro Thunder, or Laura Croft? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they don't know those even exist. So when they don't even know that XBLA exists, there's no way they know that Xbox Live indie games exist, especially with the lack of promotion there is about, you know, just even that channel. Like, you have to hunt to find that channel.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I know where it is. Like, offhand, I'd have to go in there and search menus around, I guess, because I kind of wish they would just have, like, a thing right in the beginning, you know, like, Spotlight, My Xbox, Indie Games, and Arcade, you know? So that's right there, because I don't even know if I know where it is.
Yeah, I could get behind that, but that'll never happen.
I know it won't ever happen, but, I mean, it's just, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get, like, why not? Like, if you're going to have them on there, why not promote them more?
Well, what about, like, sales? Matt, wasn't Avatar Golf on sale once for... Christmas promotion or something like that?
Yeah, they actually did that. When in 2009, they did the, you know, everyday new sale, mm-hmm, leading up to Christmas. Yeah. And Avatar Golf was chosen. And they discounted it from 400 to, I think, like 160 points.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that did really well.
How does that happen, though? Do they contact you? Are you guys constantly pestering them about, like, hey, let's do a sale, and why don't you put it on the dashboard? How does something like that happen?
I think what happens is, the way it works is like it's previously been said, like, hey, what's selling? What can we do to make money? And the game, and Avatar Golf was selling, and it was making money. So, hey, you know, let's try this out. I think it's half that and half, like, the indie team. There was someone in particular, she doesn't work for them anymore, that probably drove it. Like, hey, I really want to push indie games and let's get Avatar, push to get Avatar Golf in there. We think it can make some money. And they did that, and it did well. I can't compare it to how well, you know, the other stuff did.
Mm-hmm.
But by my standards, it did really well for one day.
Yeah.
And but they've since turned over those employees and moved to other parts of the company, and they brought in new people to help manage indie games. And I don't really know what's going on there anymore. So
they've also given the developers the right to change their prices like once a month or something like that too, right? You can drop your own price now, can't you?
Yeah, you can only do it every 90 days, though.
Okay, so once every quarter. But even that, I mean, yeah, that's great. But without the promotion, that's really not going to do a lot of good for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically if people want to understand how things work from the developer's point of view and how you can make money, being on a list is everything. If you ever hear a developer say, "My game got buried," it means it was on the new release list and then since got pushed off but never made it up on the top downloads or any other Kotaku list or any other list. So people basically have to go into indie games. You know, okay, I want to go search by genre. Okay, let me go to adventure games. Okay, let me scroll through this list. Oh, here's this game. And the chances of that happening is really low. It's really low. So that's what's called being buried is. However, if you get on that new release list and you get a nice big bump in downloads, then you get on the top release list if you have a top downloads list if you have a good game. Well, being on the top downloads list and being in the top five, that's like, wow, this is really good. You know, this is really good money. You can make a living off this if you can stay up there at that level consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being on the list is everything.
Yeah.
And being on promoted on the dashboard, that's just all, you know, that's a whole nother ball game. That really bumps things up a lot. Now, do indie games make as much money as other things to get the dashboard space? I guess not.
Yeah.
Sometimes they've tried it, and I guess it may have worked out, it may have not, but maybe they decide the beef jerky's better.
What about, like, we see deals of the week getting out of hand. It seems like twice a week now I'm writing a post of this is where you can save money on the dashboard because I'm always sifting through these ads. What about, have you guys said maybe throw indie games a deal of the week, like once every quarter, just put like 10 of your best indie developers on a deal of the week to get promotion? Is that something that's been looked into?
You know, I saw one actually is the deal of the week. What's that game? Clover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
know, right around St. Patrick's Day, it was involved in that deal of the week. You know, hey, you can buy Clover for this much, or you could go buy a pair of green leprechaun pants for the same amount.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's, hey, look, my game's only worth green leprechaun pants. Gee, thanks. So it kind of gets in there. And these suggestions, I think they're great. I think they're awesome. And we say it all the time, and it almost feels like you're just throwing your, you know, yelling it.
Talking at the wall.
A wall. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you bring up Clover, because I believe they're the game that started as a XBLA game and then just decided to go toward the Xbox Live indie game marketplace instead after they figured out how the whole, you know, approved developer thing worked. And I remember a lot of buzz on that back when I was working at a different website. That just whole concept seemed really foreign to me, the whole concept of, you know, going from Xbox Live Arcade to Xbox Live Indie. But I'm really curious to find out how that worked out. Like, I haven't followed up.
Well, what about, Matt, with the XNA contest they have every year? I think you've entered that before, right?
It's called the Dream Build Play.
Yeah, that one.
And they have one going on right now. See, it's weird. We get so many mixed messages, like, hey, we're not going to feature you on the dashboard even though it makes sense, but we're gonna have this contest and the winner gets $40,000. Like, what? So that's going on right now, and I've submitted before and finished in the top 20. It's a pretty neat contest because they tend to lean towards the gamers kind of games, like, hey, we're not gonna pick winners based on what sells. We're gonna pick based on, like, hey, this is a great game. Good job. we want you in the top 20, and you get to be featured in the indie game section. If you go in there right now, you can get in the indie game section, go up a few slots, you'll see contest finalist. You'll see Avatar Golf in there. And that's how it got in there, is by being a top 20 in the Dream Build Play.
Do you feel like that's the most important list on the indie games? Because that's, in my opinion, the cream of the crop. Whenever I look through that list, I'm always like, yes, this is a good game. Like, I tried the demo, or I already own this one. Is that the best one, or do you think still top 50 downloads is where to be?
Well, the top downloads, and that's been a controversy lately, actually. I think at last known, it used to be sorted by top downloads, like trials plus sales. And that's when we really got a reputation for being junk, because all the surprise, you know, shock factor stuff got pushed to the top. So, and, you know, a $1 game that had, you know, 10,000 trial downloads, but only 10 purchases was at the top of the
everybody
list.
Everybody wanted to do the trial for Who Did I Date Last Night, but nobody bought it afterwards, is basically exactly what we're saying here.
So somewhere along the line, and the reason we know this is because people can track this stuff. You can have a game released and you get your data and you can kind of triangulate what's going on. Like, okay, that's kind of weird. This game sold more, but it's higher on the list. So we can kind of figure out what was going on. And somewhere along the line, they switched it to where that top downloads list was based on sales on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So right about that time, if you look on it now, you'll see a pretty good spread of good games in the top 20 in the top downloads as compared to before when it was all junk.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, which list is more important, I want you to go look at the contest finalist, and then I want you to go look at the top downloads, which is basically, hey, who is selling? And compare, you know, how those games are on that list, and you'll see games in the contest finalist list that are not even in the top 50 in the top downloads. So while that list is useful and it helps you from getting buried, if you guys remember what buried is, meaning that you're not getting any downloads, it keeps you from getting buried, which is good, but the top downloads is where it happens. So everything we have to do is to try to beyond the top downloads.
Yeah.
The top downloads, top downloads, top downloads. So right now I'm struggling a little bit with what I'm going to price this Avatar Legends game.
Oh, yeah.
On one hand, you know, it's a solid game. I've put out a game at $5. I know it can work. I know it can do really well. But on the other hand, you know, with this list, it's sorted based on individual sales. So a $1 game sale counts every bit as much as a $3 game sale counts every bit as much as a $5 game sale. So if you sell 4 $1 games and someone sells 1 $5 game, you get higher on the list than the $5 game.
Yeah.
So in a way it's rewarding to lower your price. Yeah. So on one hand, like, you know, the $3, that's kind of, it's a low price. It's lower than it should be. But, you know, I got to get up the list. I got to get people buying it. So can the downloads make up people buying it who would not have bought it before? So now they're going to tell their friends to buy it, and they're like, oh, 400 points? I don't know. I can get achievements, and Major Nelson had a deal. I could buy something on there with achievements for 400 points or 240 points. Like, hey, okay, I'll try this. And if it's not good, you know, oh, well.
Yeah.
So I'm really struggling with where to go on that.
I know that's been an issue for, you know, the mobile platform for a while now, how a lot of games, you know, are kind of racing to the bottom price-wise. Just because once you put a game up, until it drops, you know, that minimum price, whatever it's set at, a lot of games, unless they just become a huge success, like Angry Birds or something like that, they're not going to get the attention. Just because a lot of that stuff is based on, you know, whether you appear on top download lists and stuff. And since it is based on sales, I mean, the only way to get those sales is to drop. Which, I mean, it's kind of a sad state, because a lot of times that, you know, completely eats whatever profits there would be for a lot of these guys, and it's hard to make a living off of.
Yeah. What about a release it at 80 points and then in 90 days go to 240 points model? Has anybody tried that work? that model yet and seen if that would keep them on the list, but then also get what their game is worth after word of mouth spread.
Well, this is what I'm thinking about doing. I'm thinking about coming out at 240 and saying, hey, look, go get it. If you're an early adopter, I appreciate it. You get it at a good price.
Yeah, like Super Meat Boy.
People rate the games. Yeah, people rate the games based on price. As much as you hate that, that's true. If you're a $5 game, you know, there's people out there like, oh, $5, you're getting no higher than a 3-star.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. You're getting 3 stars. People just think like that. They're weird. But, oh, hey, look, $1 game. It's so much fun. 5 stars.
Yeah.
But even though it's like 1/10 as fun as the $5 game, for example, it's you know, that's the psychology of it all. And what I was thinking about doing was coming out at 240, saying, hey, look, you're getting a great deal. And I'll go into this a little bit deeper in a minute. You're getting a great deal. And maybe if this works out in a couple months, we'll release some more content to the single player adventure. And then bump it up to 400.
Nice.
And everyone who bought it before then, you get the free DLC. You know, everyone after, well, you're paying for the game and the DLC. So that's just an option. And I've gone roundabout, and I'm not necessarily feeling good about bumping up the price, because some people will be angry, like, oh, I downloaded it at this much, and I didn't know, you know, it was going to move up in price, but I didn't buy it in time. I don't know.
What do you think about putting that in the description? Do you think that's an instant death?
There's not a lot of room, so
yeah.
Basically in the description you say, hey, kill trolls and shoot magic, and then features, and try to put some bullet points for all that, because my games are feature heavy.
Yeah.
And so there's really just not a lot of room. And I said I'd get to it, and I think there's this weird thing with indie games. Let's say you get a box game.
Yeah.
It's on the shelf in Walmart. You know about it in advance, you're reading reviews, and if the reviews say, hey, it's good, you know you can go buy it and get your money's worth. On indie games, it almost seems like people don't understand the value of the game until after they paid for it and bought it. Like, hey, ask Andrew right now, would you have bought Avatar Golf at $20? He'd say no.
No, yeah.
No, I wouldn't even gave it a try. But if you ask him now, Andrew, would you have bought it at $20? Yeah. He'd say yes, because he understands. You know, he understands the game. He understands what it actually did for him. And so, if I want to price my game on, you know, what it is and what it'll do for you, I would say, hey, $5. And everyone who plays it would say, you know what, that's one hell of a deal. And unfortunately, like, people don't know that until after they bought it and played it. You always hear people say, hey, I would have paid this much for it. And, well, you probably wouldn't have. but now that you play
it. That's a good point, but I think maybe in Avatar Golf's case, it's going to be a varying opinion through each gamer. I feel like it's worth $20 because I met people like Baco and Johnny and Velvet Revolver, and I got all these extra courses for free, basically, just for knowing the right people, and I got to be in these, you know, tournaments that we used to do. But for another guy who maybe didn't meet the right guy, then maybe he didn't get all of that out of it. So I feel like that's a good point. There's a lot of indie games I could say that whole yes-no scenario on. I don't know if Avatar Golf would be one for everybody, though. What do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, I said $20. I just threw something out there and kind of exaggerated.
No, I would have paid $20, though, with the experience I got from that game.
Yeah, and I was just trying to illustrate, you know, that's the difference between $3 and $5. $2, people. $2. Like, oh, I won't try it. And I understand it. I'm not going to, you know, I'm the same way. You know, we're unknown commodities. And so it's very risky to buy an indie game. You never know what you're going to get. Is it going to crash on you all the time? You know, is it going to be fun? There's not review site. I mean, there are some XBLA fans that are out there to help, but people just aren't finding these sites or as much as, like, you go to IGN and there's your boxed game and, okay, we know. But the indie games, people are just scared to buy them if they're at a high price. But then once they buy them and, like, the good ones are like, oh, okay, you should have charged, you know, a little bit more. But that's just how it goes.
Yeah, that's something I was actually about to ask you, is what type of response do you normally seem to get from, you know, a lot of the review sites out there? Do you get much attention from a lot of the bigger sites, or is it something you just kind of have to rely on other, you know, community sites in a sense? a lot like ours, where, you know, it's a smaller site, but I mean, they're out there and they're trying to look for good Xbox Live indie games and they're trying to get coverage.
Well, it's, you know, you get the whole spectrum. You know, Eurogamer is a really, really big site, and they've always been very good to us. There was an Easy Golf review, and it got a really good review back when Indie Games started. And Kotaku, they've always been really good. I guess it just depends on the website and what you have to offer. I've offered interesting stuff, so I've gotten some coverage. And so I get from that all the way to the guy that emails me and is like, hey, can I have a code for your game? You know, here's my site, and I go to it, and it's like a blog, a WordPress blog site that's got like 2 reviews on it. Like, I don't, are you just trying to get free games? So, you know, I get the whole spectrum, and I got to be honest, man, the media has been good to me.
That's awesome.
But you know, I've given them a reason to. I've given them something that if they put it up, their readers are interested in it and want to comment on and things like that.
And do you guys have a limit on how many, you know, like promo codes you guys are allowed to use? Because I've heard before that, you know, like we only get 50 and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's you only get 50, so it's really limited. So. If people feel upset that the indie developer told them they didn't have any, don't take it personal. They really don't have any.
So what do you do? Do you just contact people? Do you send like a general email to like an IGN and with a code in it saying here and just hope for the best? Or do you try to talk to somebody first? I mean, how do you go about distributing those codes? Because I imagine 50 is going to be tough to think about, well, who gets one and who doesn't.
When I started out, I just tried to find contacts and say, hey, can you review this game? And I had to send them money through PayPal because this was before they had codes. And I'd send this is Easy Golf, and I'd send them money, and they'd buy the game and review it. And it worked out, you know, it worked out fair. And then so I build up contacts, so I'm not in the same position as, you know, a lot of people who are new to the channel. I know people, I can contact them and email them on a first-name basis and say, hey, I got this coming up. I can put out a press release and people catch it. And so it's not really hard for me. So I know who I can send them to and not send them to and get burned and things like that. And for the most part, you know, bigger websites, it's about who you know. And the smaller exactly. ones and the medium sized ones, it's about who knows you. So, hey, I emailed you and can I review your game? And you go to their website and you say, you know what, this looks legit. I'll give you a code if I have one. And then there's people that just message me on Xbox saying, give me a code. Like, get lost. Beat it.
I'll stop doing that sometime.
I think I can kind of touch on that too a little bit, just because I've, you know, dealt with it from the opposite end of the spectrum. And there was a while where we were getting Xbox Live indie codes, you know, just randomly, just constantly in our email inbox. I was telling the guys, I'm like, we want to cover these, but like, we're getting, you know, 100 a month. We can't review 100 games a month. So I'm like, I'm not going to use the code unless we actually review it. But I'm like, I had to tell a lot of people, you know, I'm like, sorry, we can't review it this month. I mean, it's just, there's a flood of games. So, I mean, unless it's something that can catch someone's eye, a lot of times it's going to go unnoticed. We did a huge promotion this, like, last month where we looked at, I think, about 35 different games, Xbox Live indie games, and basically the course of the month, and reviewed them all. And, I mean, that took a lot of effort on our parts just because, I mean, we're a smaller site. We can't, you know, play every single game and write a review on every single game. So, I mean, we had to be pretty selective in what we took. And it comes down a lot to, you know, what games we know that you've already done, you know, whether it looks interesting in the trailers and stuff. I mean, honestly, a lot of it comes down to, can I read your press release and stuff? Like, a lot of times you just got to be like, guys, you need, like, some of the foreign developers, I kind of feel bad because I'm like, I can't read what you're saying and it doesn't seem like English to me. I'm just going to ignore it. Just because, I mean, it throws me off. I'm like, I got too many other emails. Like, if honestly, looking at my email inbox right now, I have 24,000 emails I haven't gone through. Now, a lot of these are just junk, and I just keep reading them, and I keep forgetting to read them. But, you know, I get a couple hundred a day, and it's just like, all I do is sit here and read email. I can't actually do anything productive. Especially when, for me, this is, you know, a side job, kind of. This isn't, you know, something that I'm trying to make a living with.
Yeah. And there is, like you said, there are certain developers that, like Barkers, I will play anything you put out. And Zona Games, I will play anything they put out. And Radiant Games, whatever you put out. And I don't even try it anymore. I just buy it. And it's definitely like to that point where a lot of developers have like made a name for themselves. And those are definitely the ones that are prone to get the reviews and interviews and whatnot. And yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's kind of what we were talking about a little bit earlier is like, you know, should there be kind of an intermediate between the Xbox Live indie games and, you know, the XBLA games? And, you know, it's kind of have like a mini XBLA game section, you know, that's just like a budget title, but still has the quality and isn't, you know, just a budget title in the sense of a retail budget title where it basically just means it sucks. Because, I mean, I feel like any time a game comes out almost always on retail and it just comes out at 40 price level, it's just bad. Yeah. It's just one of those things where, as an economics major for me, I look at it and I'm like, okay, they hit the point where they hit sunk cost, and it's just like they need to publish it just because they're going to make more money than they will.
Well, what about a system where, Matt, you mentioned that the XNA games play differently, and you have to have like that player update on your hard drive to even play an XNA game, right? That like 50 meg download? You have to have that to even launch one of those games, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's built into the Dash now.
Okay. So what about a system where, say that since it's only all playing off the same player, and indie games are essentially DLC, to put it easily to understand, what about a system like Game Room, where Microsoft takes their best developers like you and Radian and Zona and the ones that have really made a name for themselves and say, okay, you buy any of their games, then there's a 1,000 gamer score up for it or something like that would further promote. And that would kind of create that buffer that in between, like, well, these are the new indie game guys and these are, and then you have the people in your pool, and this is where these new indie game guys are trying to be. They're trying to be in that pool with the elite. Would something like that ever be fair and something that could be done?
I think that'd be a great idea. You know, XBLA minis. You know, right now, $5. You get achievements and leaderboards and a low cost of development and things like that. I think that's the tier that I think they should do. So the question is, you know, there's somewhere in Redmond, Washington, there's somebody wearing a suit, and they got a report with a chart on it, and it tells them whether or not it's worth investing in it. And most likely, you know, they looked at that chart, and if they showed you the chart, you'd probably say, you know what, I don't think we want to invest in this.
You really think so? Because, I mean, Game Room has sold a lot of trash games for the simple fact that, you know what, if I keep buying them, I'll eventually get my 1,000 gamer score.
You know, there's so many dynamics, because if you do that, then all of a sudden the people that are paying, you know, hundreds of thousands for publishing rights, which is basically the achievements, are like, hey, wait up, you know, why are you giving that to them and for real cheap, and we're paying this much for it? There's all those dynamics, and I say that in the sense that I think it should be done.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm not looking at the chart. I can't. No, I don't know the numbers.
All right.
I definitely think something like that would be interesting. You know, like a system kind of like Game Room, but that's just kind of been modified for, you know, Xbox Live Arcade game or indie games, to the point that, you know, maybe like say each month they have a select, you know, like 5 games, 6 games, 7 games. And, you know, they split even 200 points between those 6 games. And, you know, just give you something to work with and some kind of reward and some kind of incentive and just make something out of it. Just because I feel like Game Room kind of died partially just because there were a lot of problems with it. But also, I mean, it had some potential, and it seems like something like that could be modified to work with this type of system.
Yeah. The reason I say that is because I know a lot of people that just bought every Game Room for the longest time until they had however many games
despite
it took to get
a lot
of 1,000 out of 1,000 gamer score. And then I know a lot of people that have bought the computer versions and the phone versions. I don't know how they all integrate with themselves. I just think it'd be nice to have, like, maybe the top 15, 20 indie developers have, like, their own little game room thing. And, you know, Microsoft could make their easy money off of people customizing their game room. How many people probably bought, like, the Pitfall theme for 200 points just so, like, when they walked in their game room, Pitfall was all over the walls? I mean, a lot of people buy that crap. I hate to call it crap, but no, I mean that and like Avatar clothes are crap most of the time. And a lot of people buy that stuff, so there's an easy way to make money there too.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Just judging by how many press releases I get anymore that say, like, you know, we have Avatar items coming out for Xbox Live Marketplace or whatnot. And I'm just like, clearly this is making money, or people would not be putting, you know, this much effort into making these like random little, you know, items. Like, you know, I understood, you know, the lightsabers and stuff like that. I'm like, I could see people wanting those. But when they started throwing out random stuff like, you know, remote control helicopters and stuff, that I'm like, well, if you can't even control it, why do you want it? It just kind of floats. Hopefully you didn't buy it. I mean, a lot of these, you know, you get for free through playing games.
I got mine from Halo Reach. I think it was some kind of reward. It's like the...
Yeah, awards are a whole different thing, though. I mean, awards are Avatar awesome awards sometimes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, honestly, even if they can't give you guys achievements, maybe they could give you something like Avatar Awards, which, I mean, that sells games
too. Hell yeah. I know a lot of people that buy games
on Twitter. I get so many messages saying, like, will it have Avatar Awards? If not, I don't care. And to me, I don't get that, because personally, I don't even have to look at my avatar. It's the same avatar I've had since it started. I think the only difference I did is I might have downloaded a code I had from E3 that gave me a little trophy that said I went to E3.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just thought that was cool, because I think I got that like my second E3 or first E3, and I was just like, oh, cool. And like, other than that, like, I have not updated my avatar. It's the same guy in like blue jeans and a hat.
Do you feel,
and probably a pair of sunglasses.
Do you feel like avatar clothes has really demoralized what value is in other games? Like, when I see people buying like a $5 like Tron outfit, I just shake my head at them sometimes, and I'll just be like, you know, you can get Gyrus for that same $5, or you can go get Avatar Golf. What do you think, Matt? Do you think that like really takes the value in a lot of games out of the marketplace?
You know, it is what it is, man. People put money where it excites them, and you know what, I guess seeing your dude wear an outfit, that is exciting. You know, I think it's neat. I like, you know, in the Houston Texans jersey. Oh man, I'm a Texans fan. I got it. And so I think it's neat. I don't put a lot into it. I maybe have bought like 3 or 4 things. So, you know, it's not that neat.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you think that was what is now driving indie games to only be successful in cases where they're 80 points, because that's really the bottom of the barrel. That's as low as they can go at this point. If you put $5 in, a lot of people are more happy for whatever reason buying like a Wookiee costume.
Well,
I honestly think the clothes are only really as cool as, you know, the avatar support in some of these games there is for it, because like, I honestly did find it kind of neat when I was playing Full House Poker, and to my right, there was a guy dressed as a, you know, Halo soldier, and to my left, I had a Gears of War soldier, and across the table, there was a guy from Star Wars, and, you know, just all this other random stuff. I mean, that made it kind of funny, but I mean, other than that, I don't see the value except in, you know, actual games that support avatars.
Well, then you'll like Avatar Legends, right?
Oh, dude, you're gonna be able, you know, I think that the avatar clothes sales are going to go up with this game, because you're going to be able to import your friends on your map. So if your friend's wearing a, you know, a Darth Vader outfit, you'll have Darth Vader on your map in your story. If you can import your own gamer, so if you have the Darth Vader, you know, outfit, you can, you know, put it on and import yourself into the map, and you have Darth Vader in your story.
And then you can upload and share that story, right? Isn't that how it's going to work, similar to the golf courses on Avatar Golf?
Yeah, it's going to be very similar.
Yeah, which is a great thing. I mean, it sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. Like, I have probably 60 extra golf courses on my Avatar Golf game, and that's why it never gets old. You buy a Tiger Woods game, that's obviously a lot better, like, in the graphics department and whatnot, and, like, realism. But you buy a game like that, shit, it costs you $10 to download a new course anytime you want. And all I have to do is go, hey, Baco, oh, you got 2 minutes?
Yeah. You mean the course that that you got in the previous version for free?
Yeah. It's ridiculous, dude. There's, like, $60 of DLC for that game on day one. And I probably have more content in my $5 Avatar Golf download than that game has, even if I do spend the $120 or whatever I can max my credit card out at.
Yeah, that was something that annoyed me when I saw that with Tiger Woods. I was just like, how many courses can you kind of gimp out of the game? Just because in previous versions, it felt like there were more. And then, you know, now they've got DLC to create that same number that you used to get. And I'm just like, not really into that. But speaking of Avatar Legends, Matt, can you just give us, you know, kind of the quick pitch on it?
Hey man, Andrew kind of already said it. You get to build your own story, build your own adventure, and play it, and that's about it. I got a trailer up on my website. We got some videos going up on kind of tutorials on how it will all work. There's a single player adventure that comes with the game. It's made by Shake and Baco. You're gonna get 10 hours out of it, and that's if you know how to get through it pretty quickly without doing any side quests or anything like that. And it's fun. It's charming. He's a funny guy. His dialogue's hilarious. Lord Pootington wrote the stories. It's really good. You'll enjoy it. And then on top of that, there's a multiplayer, which is basically up to 6 people at a time can jump into a match. There's 5 waves of enemies. You defeat the first wave. You defeat the second wave, you defeat the third, defeat the fourth, defeat the fifth. Boom, you get your net, you earn your XP, you earn some gold, and you can put that towards buying better equipment, leveling up your character and skilling up and things like that. And there's a map designer for the single-player adventure, and there's also a map designer for multiplayer maps. And the multiplayer maps is going to be more like the golf one, where you go in, you join a session, and you play the map. And at the end of it, Andrew, this is the new thing, is you get to say, okay, I want to save this right there. So, boom, you got it. You don't even have to go into a share session for multiplayer.
As long as you just jump in an open game with somebody that made an incredible map, you can just save it as something that you want to play later on your own hard drive. And you don't even have to send a friend request and set up the upload session. Wow, that's great.
And that's for the multiplayer. But you do have to, for the single player, okay, you have to set it up. And when they send it to you, it's going to filter out the bad words, so you don't get to see the bad words or anything like that.
There you go.
On their Xbox. And so, you know, it's neat. There's just a whole lot to it. There's going to be some high scores or some leaderboards. You're not allowed to call them leaderboards, where people who get the most the most kills. So there's it shares the who's killing, who's getting the most kills, who's getting the most gold, and things like that. There's the unlockable titles. We don't have achievements, so I do this thing called unlockable titles, where if you do certain things throughout the game, it unlocks a title. And so when you join a multiplayer session in the lobby, it says the title underneath. Yeah. My favorite one is one called I Like Herbals. It's kind of like there's this quest where you have to go grab some herbs. You know, for a player, he needs some herbs, H-E-R-B-S. And so you get them for him, and when you finish the quest, you know, it unlocks the title, I Like Herbals.
Nice.
Which I just had to call it that because the I Like Turtles kid. And so after you do that, you can go into the multiplayer match and change your title, and then all of a sudden when you're in the lobby, everyone sees your name, they see the number of kills you have, they see your gold, they see what rank you are, they see what level you are, and then they see I Like Herbals.
Yeah. Awesome. Those titles are like... they're not like as a goal oriented for me, at least as achievements, but there has been times in Avatar Golf where I'm like, well, I can chip out right here, or I can take a stroke penalty and try to hit this pirate ship to get that unlockable title, where I've absolutely just screwed myself out of hitting a par or saving par or something like that, where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna get that pirate title right now. So they're definitely, they do. It's not like a, It is something that you do see yourself going for, even though it doesn't provide the gamer score. It's definitely something that I have gone for in the past. That's one of the first things I did with Avatar Golf was I went and got the old Duffy or whatever it is, the one where you have to purposely screw up your first tee shot. Yeah, so that's definitely, I can see myself like purposely dying or something like that. If you have one that, you know, you get for purposely dying in the first quest that just says like, wow, you really suck at this game or something like that.
Yeah, and for this game, it's more just like, hey, you complete a quest, and there's titles for the single player adventure. You know, you complete this quest, you do this, and then there's ones for the multiplayer that are based on like, okay, you get 10,000 kills, you're this you know dedicated killer. That's not one, but
yeah.
I'm just giving some examples. So they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're definitely ones that are like they're tough to look away from when the situation presents itself.
Yeah, so basically Avatar Legends is going to be kind of an action RPG with 10 hours of story, and then on top of that there's a multiplayer mode where, you know, you kill wave enemies, and then there's a creative mode where, you know, you can do your own single player story mode, or you can create, you know, your own multiplayer kind of adventure.
Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say, and that's for about probably 240 points, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Is that what you were looking at? Do you know when this is going to release?
I'm looking to put it into peer review tonight, but my time's growing shorter by the minute for reaching that goal.
Right. So it sounds like I'm going to have to get off this because I kind of want to play the game. The only way that's going to ever happen is if he gets this in peer review.
That's right.
But once that happens, you guys are definitely going to have to check this out, because I know for me, Dragon Age, I've already beat it. I've beaten it twice. I'm kind of like, eh. And then Skyrim doesn't come out till November 11th or something like that. So, I mean, it's going to be a while till I have something to kind of, you know, fill that void. So I'm definitely going to check this out once it comes out.
And I will say that this game was inspired by... I'm not the biggest RPG gamer in the world. I've been more of a sports gamer. But I love adventures. I love stories. I love things that are compelling to play. And this game was originally conceived because I played Fallout 3 and was like, wow, this is awesome. And then I played Fable 2 and I was like, wow, this is awesome too. So this game is heavily influenced by those two games.
That's cool.
So if you want to get a feel for
Very cool.
what it's built around, those two games are a good example.
All right.
Very, very cool. All right, so I just want to thank you again for joining us, Matt. It's been an absolute blast. Do you have any, you know, just closing remarks about Xbox Live Indie Games or even Avatar Legends?
I like turtles. you know, Xbox Indie Games, they're a mixed bag. You can go have the best time of your life, or you could find the most terrible game ever made by someone that just started coding 3 weeks earlier and somehow made it through review. That's a fun experience. I'm glad it's there. Could they improve it? Of course, there's a lot of room for improvement. That remains to be seen. Hopefully they do it. Avatar Legends, you know, it's going to be big. It's going to be a big game. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of people playing it. You know, like Andrew said, he's got over 60 courses. That required 18 maps per course. The multiplayer, you know, that's just one map. People aren't going to be chugging out, you know, three new multiplayer maps a day. And these are people that are talented. So it's going to be a game that's going to, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and that's the best part. Even if content creation isn't your thing, which it is not for me, I hate doing it. I made like one course and I was like, you know what, I'm going to let the pros do this. And that's exactly what I did. I just started getting courses from other people, and same thing with like M+. I tried to make a map once and I sucked, so I just let my friends make it. And that's the great thing about this game, is that there's going to be people out there on both sides of the spectrum. There's going to be people who want to build their own story and they're going to do an awesome job at it, and you're still going to get to reap the benefits from that.
That's exactly right.
Very cool. And do you have any quick advice for someone who might be looking to get into Xbox Live Indie Game development or XNA development or anything like that?
Go to create.msdn.com, and there are a lot of people. There's very helpful forums to help people get started. You can do Windows Phone. You could do Xbox. It's up to you. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty easy. I mean, you're still going to have to put in a lot of time and effort. You know, I've been programming C# for over 8 years, so you're not gonna make a AAA game off the bat, but you can start out small and work your way up, and it's very rewarding. It's a lot of fun. So just go to that website, create.msdn.com, and that's where all the developers are. You'll learn how to get the free tools to download, to decide if you can do it, and then you can ask questions, say, hey, this game is not compiling because of this, and someone from Microsoft, there's a chance someone from Microsoft will answer and say, hey, you know, you need to do this. Oh, okay. So it's there. It's right there. Give it a try. At least give it a try, and if you like it, cool, and if you don't, that's fine too.
All right.
Very cool. So I just want to thank everyone for listening to us. Definitely go check out Avatar Golf if you haven't already, and definitely check out Avatar Legends when it comes out. I know I will be. And there's a lot of other great indie games out there. If you want a list of those, we'll be posting one with the podcast. We have about 30 games that we've gone through the past month and reviewed, and we found some great ones. We've found some pretty good ones, a couple that aren't the best, but there's a lot of great stuff for you guys to check out. So thanks, everyone.
All right, thanks.
So welcome to the XBLA Fancast for, wow, it's May. Wow, I just blanked on May.
It's May 1st, I believe.
Yeah, just threw me off. It's May 3rd, so when this is going to be posted, so.
Okay.
Welcome to the XBLA Fancast for May 3rd, 2011, and I'm John Laster, as usual, joined by Tyler Cruz, and wow, I'm failing at this today. I am failing at this today. You guys just got married.
And Andrew,
we're just
going
to restart this from the top again.
I'm ready.
This is why I always put the stupid Google Doc up, even when I know it. All right. Welcome to the XBLA Fancast for May 3rd, 2011. And I'm John Laster, and I'm joined by Andrew Cruz and Tyler Cameron and Matt Davis of Baker's Crest Games.
Barker's Crest, dude. Barker's
wow.
Crest.
Wow. Oh my god!
Dude, you're terrible.
Someone else want to do this intro? I need to write it.
We need that Google Doc right now.
Yeah, I know. Ross always does the Google Docs. All right. He didn't do it this time. All right, last try.
One more try.
All right. Welcome to the XBLA Fancast for May 3rd, 2011. I'm John Laster, and I'm joined by Andrew Cruz and Tyler Cameron.